The message is titled, The Oil of Joy. The Oil of Joy. Oh, some people are excited already. That's good. The Oil of Joy. Amen. So we will start, if you will, in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 12. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Isaiah 12 and verse 3. I'll step back a little bit, back to verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. He says, because God is my strength, God is my help, God is my support. One thing I will do is that I will take up joy. He says, you'll take up joy and you'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. And when we talk about the wells of salvation this morning, we are talking about salvation in its totality, the complete package of salvation. Talking about your welfare, your wealth, your health, prosperity, a sound mind, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. The totality of salvation, everything that God paid for, that Jesus paid for on the cross, is in that package of salvation. And it says it is with joy that you will draw water. That means that you draw all those things out of the well of salvation. So let's start this morning by defining joy. What is joy? I'll just look at some attributes of joy this morning. Some attributes of joy. Five things this morning. Number one, joy is a force in the human spirit. Joy is a force. It is a force in the human spirit. It's of the heart. Joy is of the heart. Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. One version says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces that govern life. So there are forces in your heart. And joy is one of the forces in your heart. Amen. That's why joy isn't linked to occurrences or circumstances around you. Things might be crashing around you. Things might be going wrong all around you. And you will still have joy in your heart. Because it's a force of the heart. And it's not linked to external influences or external things going around you. Amen. Number two, as we look at some attributes of joy. Number two, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's actually one of God's character, joy. God, we have a joyful God. God is not sad. In fact, the Bible tells us that he laughs. Even when his enemies gather together, what does he do? The Bible says he laughs at his enemies. He's a joyful God. It's his nature. It's his character. That's why as children of God, we also have that nature and that character to be joyful. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And it says joy is one of them. Love, joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. What is joy? As we look at joy this morning. Joy is a weapon. Am I going too fast? No. Joy is a weapon. It's part of your arsenal, your artillery. Joy is a weapon. It says in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, the B part. It says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is your strength. And the version says, the joy of Jehovah is your fortress. His joy is your fortress. His joy is your artillery. His joy is your arsenal. Because the joy of the Lord empowers you for battle. It empowers you for battle. So joy is a weapon. Number four, what is joy? Joy is an anointing. It is an anointing. Remember, we're talking about the oil of joy this morning. Psalm 45 and verse 7. Psalm 45 and verse 7. It says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with what? With the oil of gladness. Some versions say the oil of joy above your fellows. So it's God that anoints. It's an anointing. Joy is an anointing. And he anoints us with the oil of joy. Amen. You know, there are times where people just become sad. And they can't really pinpoint what is making them sad. Has that happened to you before? You wake up and you are sad. And you're thinking, what happened? Why am I sad? And you just can't pinpoint what it is. But you know that at times like that, what you need is the oil of joy. You need the anointing of God to come upon your spirit and break that yoke of sadness or sorrow in your heart. Amen. Because there are times that the enemy, if you remember Saul, the Bible says that the spirit, an evil spirit, will come upon him. And they would summon up David. And as David would begin to play on the harp, the anointing of God's spirit will come on the scene. And then the evil spirit will have to flee. That evil spirit making him sorrowful and sad and depressed will flee away because of the oil of the anointing. So joy is an anointing. It is an anointing. And if there's anyone in the house with sorrow or sadness or depression this morning, I tell you the oil of joy is going to rest upon you and drive away that sadness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number five, what is joy? And when we bring it home, joy is a prerequisite for more. It is a prerequisite for more. It is a tool to get more. It is a tool to step into more. Joy is so crucial for the child of God. It is what we need to step into that which God has for us, where we come to that point where we always have all sufficiency in all things. Amen. And we abound in good works. We need joy to do that. We need joy to step into an abundance that God has for us. The oil of joy, the tool of joy. Joy is a prerequisite for more. That's why Isaiah 12 says, therefore with joy is this tool that you will use to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let's look at a story in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. And I'll read from verse 1. 1 Samuel 30 verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burnt it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and did what? Wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just read down. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Amen. But we see the initial response of these people when they got into trouble. The Bible says they wept until they had no more power to weep. These are men. These are men. These are fighters. These are warriors. But they got into trouble, and the first thing they did was to weep. You know, as I was growing up as a little girl, I thought men don't weep. You know why? I had never seen my father cry. I'd seen my mother cry, but my father, I'd never seen him cry. And so I grew up like that, into my teenage years, into my youth, and I was going to get married. So on my engagement day, the people from my husband's family, they came, we want your daughter, we want that. And somewhere along the line, during the course of that ceremony, I turned and I looked at my father. And I saw my father wiping away tears. I was like, hey? I had never seen him cry. For the first time, I saw my father cry. So men do weep. Amen. And it's okay for them to weep. Amen. So we see these men, they were weeping because they were in trouble. And David was even in more trouble than the rest of them. Because these men that were his support. Do you remember David was in exile? His son had chased him out of the throne, out of the palace. So he had run away, and these people gathered together to support him. But the people that were his supporters were now speaking of stoning him. So David was in double trouble. So David was crying. People were crying. The people were also planning, we are going to kill this man. This man that has put us in this trouble, we are going to stone him. But in the midst of all that, can we say in the midst of all that? In the midst of all that, even though their joy departed, David stood up, and something stood up in him and said, no, you don't have to weep. No, you don't have to cry. And the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. He encouraged. So we see that the story now takes a different turn from verse 6. The Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He was in distress, but he thought, no, this is not the way. We're just going to go down. But the way to turn is the other way, is to encourage myself in the Lord and pick up strength and pick up joy. And so he encouraged himself in the Lord. And as he did that, he began to think clearly. There are times that when you're just crying, you know, people have different responses to problems. Sometimes when people are in trouble, they cry. So that was the response of these people. So he out of all the crying, he began to think clearly. And he said, no, there's something we can do. We can at least inquire from God. Now he's thinking correctly. We can at least inquire from God. And then he called Abiathar the priest. Bring the effort. Help me ask God, should I pursue? And God said, pursue. And we see him gathering these men, the same men that wanted to stone him, he gathered them, and they went and they pursued. And the Bible says they recovered everything. Amen. You will recover all in the name of Jesus. All that you have lost, all that the enemy has stolen from you, you will recover them back in Jesus' name. But one thing that David did was that he took up strength. He took up strength and he encouraged himself in the Lord. James 1 and verse 2. Let's look at James 1 and verse 2. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He says you count it all joy when there are tests, when there are trials, when the enemy throws things at you, when you are discouraged, when your head is down, when men step on you, when men stamp on you. He says what? Count it all joy. Pick up joy in the midst of all that. Because the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what happens? The Lord delivers him from them all. From every single one of them. Because there is deliverance on the way. There's the need to always remember that and to pick up joy. Amen. It's necessary that we pick up joy. So James is encouraging everyone. He says, look, when you are in trouble, call a party. And when the people come and they say, my brother, my sister, what are you celebrating? You tell them, I'm celebrating what? Tests and trials and temptations and what else? Tribulations, thank you. And tribulations, trouble. That is what you're celebrating. Because you know what? You're going to come out of it strong. Amen. Can I have a loud amen in the house? Amen. Hallelujah. So what are the expressions of joy? As we talk about the oil of joy this morning, what are the expressions of joy? I will just list them. I won't open to the verses there. I'll just list them. Number one, singing. Hallelujah. You know what? The Bible says that God rejoices over us with singing. We'll see that in Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. You might just put that up. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. I wouldn't read it. But he rejoices over us. God actually rejoices over you with singing. Why? It is an expression of joy. So one expression of joy is singing. Another expression of joy is what? Dancing. Like some of you danced this morning. Amen. It's an expression of the joy in your hearts. When you're happy, when you're glad, you show it, you display it by dancing. And the expression of joy is shouting. You shout for joy. Like Zephaniah 3:17 also, it says that you shout. Some versions say that you shout for that God rejoices over us with shouting. So shouting is an expression of joy. The Bible says, shout for joy, all ye lands. Shout for joy, all you people. Has it happened to you and just in your house, and all of a sudden, you just shout? You just shout. There are times I'm just so excited, and I shout. And they're like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, it's okay. Everything is okay. I'm just glad. And that person that does that in my house is Sophie. You just hear in our room. Ah! I'm like, is there Sophie? Ah, that's okay. He's like, ah, that's good. Ah, that's paletti. I'm like, okay. It's just a shout of joy. When we are joyful, you shout. Amen. Learn to shout. Just shout. Don't do that in the Uber and they'll think you're crazy, okay? But your house, you can shout. It's an expression of joy. And another expression of joy is what? Laughter. You laugh. You know, a very good laugh. I call it the belly laughter. You laugh until you know everywhere is shaking. The muscles are being exercised as you laugh. Amen. It's an expression of joy. That's one thing I do. I laugh. There are times that even when you're in trouble, you do what? You laugh. What are you doing? You're laughing at the enemy. The Bible says that he laughs at his enemies. God laughs at his enemies. When you're in trouble, what do? You laugh at your enemy. Because that will cause them to become confused. They're like, we have tried this sister. We have kicked her. We have done, and she's still laughing. They become confused. You confuse the enemy with your laughter. Amen. Laughter is an expression of joy. Hallelujah. Psalm 2 verse 4. Let's just open to it. Psalm 2 and verse 4. He, who is he talking about there? God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall do what? Shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He's making fun of them, of his enemies. So they're running around, they're gathering, he's just laughing. And we should pick up that thing and just laugh. One thing that we do over and again is, you know, there's sometimes you get some videos. There's some videos that maybe, you know, that they send to you. I don't delete, there's some videos that I get and that make me laugh. I don't delete them. Anytime, there's some videos I have, anytime I just want to laugh, I just go back to that video and I put it on and I just watch it again and I just begin to laugh again. And I'll encourage you, just get something that will make you laugh every day. No day should go without you having good belly laughter. Where you laugh and laugh, you know the kind of laughter? That kind of laughter. I'm not talking about smiling, laughter. That you really laugh. It's good exercise for your soul. Amen. You laugh. Learn to laugh. Go and learn it. Some people don't know how to laugh. They don't know how to do it, but they have to learn it. Learn to laugh. Can we just laugh a little in the house this morning? Thank you. That's how to laugh. You laugh. That's how our God laughs. Amen. When we get to heaven, we'll be laughing every day. Amen. Laughter is a sign of joy. It's an expression of joy. Hallelujah. So why do we choose joy? Why do we choose joy? Hallelujah. Number one, God admonishes us to choose joy. Psalm 68 and verse 3. Let's look at that. Psalm 68 and verse 3. It says, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. It should not be just a low level joy. Let them exceedingly rejoice. Let the righteous be glad. Do we have righteous people in the house this morning? He says you should be glad. You should be joyful. God admonishes us to be joyful. Let's go to Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Emma yo ninu Oluwa nigba gbogbo mo tun wi emma yo. How many people understand that? Yeah, I was speaking in tongues. Now let me read the right thing. That's my mother tongue. Hallelujah. Emma yo. Can you say emma yo? Okay, let's read the one that we all understand. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Is it sometimes when you're happy or things are going well with you? He said, at all times, when things are not so fine, when things are fine, when your husband is not smiling at you, what do? You still rejoice. Amen. Rejoice always. When your boss says, I'm thinking of sacking you, what do? You rejoice. Because it means that God is preparing a better job for you if he does that, or he'll be removed and you'll be promoted. Amen. So you rejoice all the same. Because you know that, you know what God has in store for you. You know the more that God has in store for you. Amen. You rejoice always. God admonishes us to rejoice. Why do we choose choose joy? Number two, because God makes it available. He makes it available. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Oh, let me teach you how to say that word. It's not just joy. It's like this. In your presence is fullness of what? Joy. Joy. That's how to say it. Amen. Let's try that again. In your presence is fullness of joy. Your mouth must go on. Hallelujah. Amen. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So God makes it available. Surrounding him, there's in God's presence, like in the house of the Lord now, there is fullness of joy. Amen. That's what God surrounds himself with. Any angel that is not joyful, God sends them out. They are expelled. That's my own version. I'm just but he has people that are happy around him, people that are joyful around him. All around the throne of God, there is joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And when he steps into a situation or a circumstance, it brings joy with him. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Amen. We also see that in Hebrews 1:9. God makes joy available. That's why we need to choose joy. Number three, why choose joy? Why choose joy? You choose joy. It's a source of healing in your body. It's a source of healing. That's why even we are even being encouraged to be happy, to have a merry heart. Amen. Where you are just joyful and you're glad. A merry heart does good like medicine. We see that in Proverbs 17. Let's read it, please. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. It says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. One version says, a joyful heart is a good medicine, but depression drains one's strength. It says when you are joyful, it's medicine for your whole body. It's medicine for your whole body. There's a story of this man that I heard about, that he was going to die. He had a terminal illness, and they had said that he was going to die. He had a couple of weeks or so to live. But he just thought to himself, before I die, I'm just going to enjoy the remaining days, the remaining weeks I have. So what he did, he got all these comedies and things that would make him laugh. And every day he would sit down and he would say, okay, I don't know if this is my last day, but let me just enjoy this day. So he would sit down and he would watch and he would laugh. He would laugh. He would get people to come and watch with him and they would all laugh together. And the next day he would wake up again. Oh, I'm still alive. Let me laugh again. And he would go through it and laugh and laugh and laugh. And as he laughed day after day, guess what? The medicine was working. The doctors were, they asked him what's happening, because they saw that something was beginning to turn around in his body. The joy on the inside of him was working like medicine. And at the end of the day, he was healed. This guy did not die. The person that had been condemned to die did not die. Why? Because joy is medicine. Amen. It removes every form of depression. It begins to cause your cells to live. Joy is medicine. And we see that in the Bible. It's medicine and it does good like medicine. Amen. A joyful heart helps you to heal. It heals you completely. Amen. If you know anyone that is sick, what that person should do is just gather people that will make you joyful. Remember things that God has done for you that will make you joyful. And as you focus on those things, the joy of the Lord will give you strength to rise up from that deathbed. Amen. Amen. Steps to joy. How do we receive joy? We looked at why choose joy. We said God admonishes us to do that. God makes it available. It's a source of healing. What are the steps to joy? Number one, receive God's love. Receive God's love. And when I say that, you know, many people think God loves me. But we need to get a revolution, a revelation actually, that will lead to a revolution. A revelation of God loves me can revolutionize your thinking. Where you think God loves me, He loves me so much that He will give that thing that I want to me. He loves me so much that He would raise me to that position. He loves me so much that He will make a way for me. He loves me so much that He will give me a good wife. He loves me so much that He will bless me with the children I want. When you get that revelation of God loves me, it changes the way you think. It changes your mindset completely. It was a senior pastor that was saying this. He just said, sometime last year that it just occurred to him, God is good. Everybody knows, everybody says that. All Christians say God is good. But when you get the revelation of God is good, it changes everything entirely. So he said when he got that revelation, it changed the way he began to think and the way he was even ministering. And so when it comes to ministry, for instance, said there was a man that was ill. This man had terminal cancer and was going to die. They had given him some months to live. And so this man was ill. And as pastor began to minister to this man, he was ministering with the mindset of God is good. God is good. He's going to heal this man. God is good. He's going to answer my prayer. It changes your thinking completely. Because you think, my God is beside me. He's going to support me in what I'm going to do. And as he prayed for this man. He said, prayers that were going on every day. He said, I prayed with him for maybe 2 minutes. But with the mindset of what? God is good. That changes everything. This man was healed of terminal cancer. Pastor said the next day, he was on the bed. He could not get up. I went to see him the next day. He got up from the bed to open the door. And that was the end of the cancer in his life. God is good. For pastors, let's begin to meditate on that word. God is good. It changes the way you minister to people. You will minister with compassion because you know God loves that person. You minister to people with compassion. It changes everything. When you wake up in the morning and you think God is good, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. It doesn't matter who's not smiling at you. You know God is good to me. Changes everything to completely. So receive God's love. Amen. Receive God's love. That will lead you to a revolution, to revolutionize your thinking. Amen. Number two, love and appreciate yourself. Love and appreciate yourself. You know, there are people that don't really love themselves. There are things they would like to change. And it's okay to want to become better, but love yourself where you are with what you have. Love yourself. Tell your neighbor, love yourself. One more time, love yourself. Love who you are. Appreciate yourself. And it's when people don't appreciate themselves that they begin to compare. They begin to compare themselves with another person. Why compare yourself? You know one thing? The Bible says we are made in His image and His likeness. So if you are short, you are short like God. Really? If you are tall, you're tall like God. If you are what's the word for them? The very slim ones. Slim. If you are slim, you're slim like God. And if you are like God, appreciate yourself. Love yourself. It's very important. Love yourself. You know, there are people that, they just, I wish my nose were like the nose of Michael Jackson. He had a borrowed nose. I wish I was born in America. How many people wish they were born in the U.S.? When you were a child, you were like that. Yeah. Even now, somebody say, even now. I wish I was born in America. But love yourself where you are. Love yourself where you are. You don't have much. You don't have the qualifications. You don't just love. You wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and love that person you are seeing. It changes your whole thinking. It changes who you are. It changes your outlook to life when you begin to love yourself. It's very important that we love ourselves. And I'll ask you to extend it. When you love yourself, then you can love others. Some people that don't love people, that are always angry, they are always frowning. You greet them, they don't answer. Why? They don't even really love themselves. So if they don't love themselves, how can they love you? So such people, don't be angry with them. They have a problem. They have a problem. But, you know, love yourself and let this love extend to others. Love others. Appreciate people. Be someone that embraces people. Show love and warmth to others. And as you do that, those are steps to joy. In making other people joyful, in making other people glad, you receive the joy of the Lord. Amen. You sow joy into someone's life, you receive joy in return. That's how it is. It's what you give that you receive. So love people, love yourself. Amen. I move on. What are the steps to joy? Be a thankful and grateful person. Be a thankful and grateful person. Every time you open your eyes in the morning, just begin to thank God. It's another. Don't take it for granted. People sleep and don't wake up, even in their middle age. They sleep and don't wake up the next day for no reason. They're like, why did no? The person was not ill, just slept and didn't wake up. So every time your eyes pop open, what do you say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate Him for that day. Don't take it for granted. I know some people, for those that are married, your spouse is married to you, even though, you know, some people are very difficult to live with. They're extremely difficult to live with. But that woman loves you and lives with you and can take all the BS or the bull crap from you. Can take all the things that you throw. You know what? You appreciate that woman for loving you. Amen. Be thankful to her. And it also goes the other way. There are some women that are difficult. They're like Jezebel. But the man just loves you. Even though you are something else. Loves you all the same. What do? Appreciate that man. Be thankful to him. Say, thank you for living with me. People don't know I'm like this in church, but you know. And you're still living with me. You're not packed your things and left. Appreciate that person and be grateful. Amen. Just have a grateful attitude. Amen. Thank people for things that they give you. Don't say, she bought me 50 cents. This thing, they tell you 50 cents at Kik. Don't say that. The person thought of giving you something. That is what matters. Amen. Be thankful. Be grateful. You are coming in through the door. Somebody opens the door for you. What do you say? Thank you. Just have a grateful attitude. Like my people that give me water. Do I say thank you to you when you give me water? I do. I say thank you. Some people gave me gifts at Christmas. They gave us gifts at Christmas. Did I say thank you to all of you? I did. Thank you, Sister Mandu. I said thank you to you. So just have a grateful attitude. Be grateful for every, even little things. Little things, big things. Appreciate people. Appreciate God. That you're preparing your heart for joy. Amen. Those are steps to joy. Having a joyful attitude. Appreciate your salvation. Some people are not in church today. They are somewhere. Some people are in gutters. Because over the weekend it was booze, booze, booze. So in the morning, Sunday morning, where are they now? They can't come to church. But appreciate the fact that you are saved. Some people are on the way to hell. You are on the way to heaven. Shouldn't you appreciate that? Shouldn't you be thankful? Amen. Like for me, I don't know. I was asking my father, how did we get into Christianity? Then he told me the story. Well, let me just say it quickly. So my great-grandfather was an imam. So normally I should be sharifa too. My great-grandfather was an imam. And so he was training my grandfather as the imam to take up after him. And they had a mosque. So my great-grandfather had a mosque. He was the chief person there. And he was training my grandfather as an imam also. But one day there was this deacon in the neighborhood that told my grandfather, look, I'm going to Kaduna, that's another state in the northern part of Nigeria. I'm going to Kaduna tomorrow. You're so tall. My grandfather was a very tall man. So he said, look, you're this tall man, but one thing I want to offer you is education. So if you want to be educated, he didn't know anything. And tall man, not knowing anything, tall young man, not knowing anything. Come with me to Kaduna tomorrow morning. So my grandfather packed the things overnight. And the next morning, he went to Kaduna with that man, with that deacon. That's how he came in contact with Christianity and education. And that's what changed our story. I would be in a mosque, maybe. Because if your grandfather is a Muslim, your father would be a Muslim. You also most likely be a Muslim. I know the story could change. But you know, so I could be a Muslim somewhere on the way to hell. But I'm so grateful that man packed his load that evening. I said, I'm going with this man to Kaduna. Hallelujah. That changed the course of our lives. So we grew up, when I grew up, we were already Christians. Amen. Appreciate that. If there's a story like that or something, you know that you would have died some years ago, if not for God. Some of us have been involved in car accidents and you've taken it for granted. Be thankful you're alive. Don't say it's because I was sitting at the front, so I was sitting at the back. No. People die in any angle of the car. Nothing touched the person. The person just dies. So be thankful. Have a heart of gratitude to God. Amen. And be a grateful person. Number four, take up joy as a matter of choice. Joy is a choice. You choose joy. Choose joy. And you kick out contrary forces out of your mind. Choose joy. Choose to be a joyful person. I made up my mind I'll be joyful. When I realized that joy is my strength, I made up my mind I'll be joyful every single day. I don't allow things to bother me. Of course, there are things that might want to bother me, but I always remember quickly. Joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I greet somebody, the person's not greet me. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. I'm not moved at all. I have my joy. I have my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I said, kick out contrary forces. What are contrary forces? Anger, envy, gossip, bitterness, wrath, unforgiveness, malice, all those things. They contradict joy in your heart. That is why you see people that store those things in their hearts are not joyful people. They don't have joy. And there was this man that was telling me. He said, you know that sometimes I and my wife, for 3 months, we're not talking. Eh? I'm like, how do you do it? Please tell me. 3 months. This one, they don't even greet. Not even good morning, nothing. Sometimes she'll put food, sometimes she'll not put food because they are like, how do you know? It's a wrong mindset. And I pity such people that keep such things in their hearts. They don't know they are suffering. Joy. The joy of God gets rid of all those things. Kick out those things and replace them with joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Take up joy as it's a choice that you make. Take up joy as a matter of choice. Number five, steps to joy. Embrace the source of joy. Embrace the source of joy. And who is the source of joy, dear people? Jesus is the source of joy. God is our source of joy. You know, people try to find joy in different things. They go into drugs. They go into illicit sex. They go into all sorts of things just to get joy. Let me tell you something. If all those things could bring joy, then prostitutes will be the most joyful people, you know, on earth, because they have it every day. But there's no joy in that. There's no joy. There's no joy in all those things. Some people, it's their bottle. There was a lady. I said, why do you keep on? She was so addicted to her beer. Why? He said, it's my friend. He said, that's where I find some companionship. A bottle of. I said, I find some companionship in this. And I felt sorry for her because she was trying to find joy in that bottle. Those things don't give you joy. You know, there's this advert many years ago in Nigeria. I mean, people remember Harp for Harp. Harp is actually a beer. Harp for happiness. It's a lie. After drinking the Harp, your eyes will clear, and you see that there's no joy. There's no happiness in Harp. Amen. But there's joy in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. Embrace the source of joy. Embrace the source of joy. Habakkuk 3. I'm beginning to round up now. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. I remember a colleague of mine some years ago. We would know anytime she has a trouble, anytime there's something bothering her, she just come back. She normally doesn't drink every day, but when there is trouble, maybe there's a bad day at work, she just go under the... She has stored it somewhere. She does not store it where, because she's a Christian, so she stores it where not everyone will see it. She just go and take it because there's trouble now. This is my consolation, my joy. But those things don't bring joy. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. And I want us to, as we read it, let the Spirit of God take over your heart as we read these words. I believe that the anointing of God will rest upon us as we read them. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. You know, there are times that even in our lives, I'm talking about Pastor and I now, we've gone through difficult moments. Difficult moments, and we'll come to church and everything, and people will not even realize it. And we can't even come and tell you, because you people run to us. So I can't come and tell you, please, do you know that this is happening? But you know what? We go back to our source of joy, and we embrace our source of joy. That's why we'll come and there's trouble, and I'll still come and preach with the joy of the Lord in my heart. That's my source of joy. That's my secret. Embrace the source of joy. Amen. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stores. It says, with all this trouble, there's no fruit, there's no olive oil, there's no meat, there's no flock, everything is dry, everything is empty, everything is gone. What does it say in verse 18? What does it say? Yet. Can we all say yet? Yet. I will what? Rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So please, let's rise up this morning. We have rounded up now. Let's rise up, please. Rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up. We are going to read this together. We are going to read that verse 18. And I want you to open up your heart and receive the joy of the Lord, the oil of joy in your heart this morning. As we read verse 18 and 19 together.